All right, praise the Lord. It is so good to see you again. The service last Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior was awesome and incredible. I want to thank so many of you who were intentional to invite others to be a part of that service. And I just want to say, first and foremost, that if this is now your second time here with us, or if you're new to Houston First, maybe when you answered that question that Pastor David just gave, it was like, well, it's just a couple of weeks or maybe just a couple of months, whatever that is. I just want you to know, like, you're in now, right? Like, you're not, you don't get to be a guest here very long, right? Like, now you're on the team, which means now it's your responsibility to invite others to be a part of what God is doing with Houston First. It's your opportunity now to share with others how good God has been to you. And man, I'm just so thankful for everything that he's been doing. You know, when I was pastoring in Kentucky, there was one Sunday where this is a while enough back that we had just gotten like a projector in, like, with the church and everything. And in fact, we didn't even have like screens and that kind of stuff. We just had like somebody on a laptop. Actually, it was one of our youth that was on a laptop using like PowerPoint. Right. And we actually just projected the words for like songs or whatever, like onto the wall. Cause we couldn't even afford a screen yet. We were just thankful to be this far along. Right. And, right before service, like, the student comes up to me and was like, yeah, I lost everything. I have no idea where anything's at for all of our stuff for the service. And so, like, I'm just like, okay, because not only am I pastor, but I was also the tech team with that church, right? Imagine, like, how terrible that was. And so I'm up there, and, like, I'm trying to find whatever it was, and we're getting her all fixed up and everything. And so finally, so service there, because it was a good Church of God congregation, we started at 10:45, right? Because that's when good Church of God congregations start. I know we started at 11. It's all right. And so, like, it was, like, 10:44, right? Probably 10:46 at this point. And so, like, I'm, like, rushed. So, like, I'm trying to hurry. I'm trying to get all this worked out and everything. I get done there. I walked to, like, out the back of the sanctuary, and the way that it kind of works is, like, we only had, like, the one entrance on this side, so, and the projector was up front on this side, so I had to walk to the back and then cut across to go out to actually, like, pray for, like, with the leadership team and everything before we went out to do the service, which is also, like, kind of an important thing or whatever, I guess. As I went out, I made eye contact with someone, and I didn't speak. Now, in Houston, you guys are like, okay, right? Like, what's the big deal? In Kentucky, that's a big deal. It's a really big deal. It's a big deal that got me a letter. It was a big deal that caused this couple, like, to not come back anymore, right? It was a big deal that caused, like, more meetings than I care to admit in my office. Like, how do we fix this situation? Like, how do I rectify this broken relationship? And how in the world could I have done this? And how could I be such a terrible pastor? And all this kind of stuff, right? Like, it was crazy. Like, it was sort of an out-of-body experience. Like, how is this even happening in my life right now, right? I say all that to say, sometimes it can be really, really hard to, like, genuinely connect with other people, right? I would have loved to be able to get to know this couple more and to talk more about, like, what was going on in their lives or whatever like that. I would have loved for the PowerPoint to work. I would have loved for the projector to do what it was supposed to do. I would have loved for the student to have been able to figure out the problem all by herself. I would have loved all of those things. None of those things actually happened. And so what ended up happening was a fracture, right? Because we weren't able to actually connect and talk, and we didn't have a relationship that we could work through these issues with. Last week, we started a new sermon series called Why Is It So Hard? And last week, we looked at why it's so hard to change and actually submit to God. This week, we're going to look at why it's so hard to genuinely connect with other people, right? It seems like everything in our world is designed for us to be alone. Everything is customized just for us. Everything is from our phones to what we're watching on what we used to call TV. Now it's on whatever device we might happen to be on, right? Everything that we do is sort of pointing us toward how we can be content by ourselves. Yet the reality is that we weren't designed to be by ourselves. And here's the kicker. Relationships are hard. Relationships are not easy. Like in relationships were even hard for Jesus, right? I mean, think about this, right? So if we're thinking about reasons of why relationships are hard, like one of those things might be that it's hard to connect because of a fear of rejection, right? If I say something or I try to start up a conversation or start a relationship, whatever, I could be rejected. Who was rejected more than Jesus? Right? I mean, think about this. This is crazy. When I wrote it down, it didn't even make sense to me, but it's actually true. Jesus was rejected for reading scripture, for healing people, for casting out demons, and for being right. Right? No one has been more rejected in the history of the world than Jesus has, right? Think of this. So, another reason it's kind of hard to connect with people is that people always leave. Right? So maybe you get in a relationship with someone, but then they move away, or they pass away, or the relationship is somehow fractured, or something like that. People always leave. Again, think about Jesus, right? I don't want to get too far into this, but let's not miss the fact that Joseph, Jesus' dad, who was there when he was a teenager, wasn't there when he was 30. We don't know why, we don't know how, we don't know what happened to Joseph, but we know he ain't around anymore. We know he's not in the story anywhere. Something happened to Joseph. He's not in the story anymore. Think about John the Baptist, who was actually Jesus' cousin. He died because for a lot of things, but primarily because of what he actually believed about Jesus himself. Lazarus, Jesus' apparently very good friend, died. In fact, when Jesus went and Mary and Martha are there and everything, and he raises Lazarus from the dead, he cries, he weeps for his friend because he had died, right? Not to mention, all of the disciples, right? When Jesus needed them the most, all abandoned him and everything. Like if anybody was going to be afraid of people leaving, it should have been Jesus, right? The other thing that kind of comes to mind when talking about, how it's hard and why it's hard to connect with people is that sometimes it can just feel like people are always fake, right? Nobody's, actually real about their lives. And everyone's just got a facade on. Everyone's just sort of pretending to look like who we want them to look like or who they want us to perceive them to be. And again, Jesus had to deal with this a lot. You think of the woman at the well, right? Jesus had to basically, Jesus had to reveal to her that he knew more about her than what she realized, right? So she was trying to put on as if she was in a healthy relationship back home and everything. When Jesus said, hey, go call your husband. And she's like, I'm not married. He's like, I know. And it's worse than that, right? She was trying to put on everything was cool, but it wasn't by a long shot. Even the rich young ruler, right? He comes to Jesus and he's like, hey, I'm an all-star. You should want me on your team. How do I get eternity? And Jesus is like, oh, follow all the commandments. Done that. I'm awesome at that. I should be on the team. What next? Oh, we'll just give everything away. And all of a sudden, when it got real, when it came down to real sacrifice, he wasn't willing to make the sacrifice. He was just putting on to try to get on the team, right? Jesus had to deal with all kinds of people who were being fake. Don't even get me started on all the Pharisees and the religious rulers and all that kind of stuff. And so if we recognize that even for Jesus, building genuine relationship was difficult, then why is it so important? Why is it so hard? If it's important for us to have these relationships, if it's important even for Jesus to have these relationships, if it's important for us to be connected with the church, for example, why is it so hard? And what I'd like to do today is And just begin to process some of that and to see through the life of Jesus and through the scriptures what we can learn about relationships themselves that will help us to be able to grow in the relationships that we need desperately for ourselves as well. Before we jump into that, if you would, pray with me. God, I thank you so much for this opportunity that you have given us to hear from you. God, I ask in the name of Jesus that my words would be your words, that your message alone would be heard and received and acted upon today. God, I humbly submit myself before you. And I ask, God, that you would take whatever offering it is that I have to give, and that you would just use it, Father, for your kingdom's sake even now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so how do we genuinely connect with others? Well, if you notice, I keep using that word genuine, I think that a lot of us could probably attest to the fact that even though we may know some people, we don't always have like genuine relationships with people. Like we don't always show people who we really are, and the people that we're talking to don't always show us who they really are. And the reality is that many times we hold back who we are because past hurts tend to impact future relationships. We've gone through something in our past, either with our parents or with previous friendships, or maybe even previously with the church. And we've gone through some things, and we've heard some things, and those struggles were so hard that we decide, you know what, I'm going to protect myself from that. And so rather than actually learning how to have healthy relationships, we tend to sometimes just hide and isolate and keep ourselves from relationships, from genuinely knowing others and genuinely being known by others. When we flew to Kenya and back, it was fascinating. So I have kind of a history of when I am flying on a plane, sometimes conversations happen. People think that this is like a ministry or whatever I do. This is not something I look to do. It just kind of happens sometimes. It did not happen on the way to Kenya and back. I can tell you that. And part of that is because the entire plane is designed for me not to talk to anyone, right? So we were coming back from, it was our last leg. So we went from Nairobi to Amsterdam. So we were going from Amsterdam back to Houston here. And I had slept the first half, and so I'm trying to stay awake on the second half of the trip. And I'm in a middle seat. There's a person on either side of me, and the lady who was to my right, she was at the window, and she particularly did not want anyone to talk to her, okay? So think about it. First of all, everybody on the whole plane has their own TV, like, on the seat in front of them, right? Of which you get to pick whatever it is you want to watch or whatever there. But not only that, but then the stewards come by, and they actually offer you headphones so that whatever it is that you're watching, like, you can just hear it yourself, and no one else has to hear that, right? So what that means is now it's sort of programmed for me to watch something that nobody else is watching. Again, there's, I don't know, however many hundreds of people that are on this plane. I have my own thing. I'm looking at my own screen. I have my own sound. And so everyone else is supposed to just leave me alone because I'm watching my movie, right? This girl, though, not only did she have her own screen and her own headphones, but she got tired. And so she took the airplane blanket and she covered her head with it and leaned herself over against the window and knocked out. All right. Now, I got no problems with her wanting to sleep. That's no issue at all. I get there was some light on in the plane and everything, and she was trying to make it dark. All of those things are great. The point is, though, she made very clear that she was not trying to have a conversation about nothing, right? And not only are planes sort of designed this way, but really our lives are kind of designed this way. Our lives are sort of designed to keep us isolated. Our lives, whether it be because of past instances or even just because of current culture, we find ourselves very, very isolated. And then we find comfort in that isolation, only going deeper into that isolation. Yet, with all of these things being the case today, And all of the things that are true about what happened to Jesus in terms of, you know, the fear of rejection and people leaving and people always being fake and all that kind of stuff. Even in the midst of all of that, Jesus still pursued genuine connection with other people. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? So first of all, I think it's important for us to recognize that Jesus didn't pursue genuine relationship with everybody. All right. I find it interesting if you read through some of the stories in the New Testament, there are times where Jesus will actually like step over some people in order to go and heal one person in particular. Right. Jesus is not always looking to connect and build a relationship with everyone. In fact, there are even times where when Jesus performed some sort of miracle, it was actually a very limited interaction. There was very little relationship that was happening there. He would perform that miracle, and then he goes one way, and the other people go another. One of the most amazing interactions, and like by amazing, I mean kind of like startling, is when Jesus was teaching some of his disciples, and his mom and his brothers showed up outside, and everybody was like, "Hey, your mom and your brothers are outside. They want to talk to you." And he says, "Who is my mother and my brothers? My mother and my brothers and sisters are those who do the will of my Father." Well, that's kind of offensive, right? I'm just telling y'all right now, and I know I'm going to get called about this later, but I'm telling you right now, if my mom is standing outside those doors over there, and one of y'all comes in and is like, "Hey, your mom is here," and I'll be like, "Who my mom? Oh, I'm here about that, y'all. Oh, I'm here about that for years. Are you kidding me? She is never going to let me live that down." I mean, imagine here, like, what Jesus is really saying. He, even when it came to like those blood relationships, he was very focused in who it is that he built relationship with. And not everybody was on that list, even when it came to his mom and his brothers, right? So for Jesus then, it was the mission that determined who he actually built genuine relationship with. It was the mission to actually seek and to save the lost. That is what determined who it was that he would build relationships with. And so we see this like with the disciples in particular. That's like we see like he does the Sermon on the Mount. He does this big sermon, a whole bunch of people. That's great. Feeding the 5,000, they come, but then they go. The disciples are the ones that he actually builds relationship with. They are the 12, right? And there's even a larger group of disciples beyond the 12 apostles, but they are the ones that he actually spent time with. They were the ones that he went to and said, "Hey, come follow me." They were the ones that were there. When he shared about his upcoming death that would happen, even though they didn't get it, he still shared it with them so that they would know. He talked to them about huge subjects like the end of times and even warned them against leaders of the day. And he taught them how to pray. He taught them about baptism. A couple of them were even there when Moses and Elijah showed up on the scene one day. Like he spent so much time with his disciples because he had a mission that he was trying to accomplish. See, I think many times we find ourselves in the situations we are because we are either on the wrong mission or we're not actually building relationships in regard to the right mission. Right? We allow our history to keep us from those things that would actually be leading us to God. And instead, we just try to either isolate ourselves or build a relationship with people that aren't actually leading us where God would have us to go. See, the truth is, and this is what I want you to take with you today, your mission will determine who you genuinely build relationship with. Your mission will determine who you genuinely build relationship with. I got a haircut a couple of days ago, by the way. Just thought I'd mention that. A couple of months ago, I got a haircut. I generally go to Sport Clips. I don't know why. I just do. I think I just like watching TV while I get a haircut. That's probably it. And while I was there, the girl who was cutting my hair, she calls me up and tells me, like, okay, here's the seat, you know, whatever. And they're like, the girl cutting my hair is part of a three-person conversation. There's a girl next to us and a guy over the way. And somehow they're talking about travel. They were talking about, like, traveling together, even, which I thought was kind of odd. But, I mean, maybe they're, like, that kind of friends. I don't know. I just got here to get my hair cut 5 minutes ago. So let's see. We'll find out. And so I'm just listening, right? And so the guy asked the girl to my left, like, hey, like, where are you going on vacation? And she said, of all places, Amsterdam. I'm like, first of all, you cut hair at Sport Clips. How are you going to Amsterdam for vacation, right? Galveston, maybe, right? That's a whole nother conversation. You spend your money however you want to spend your money. The guy is like, hey, I should go on that vacation with you. And it seemed weird and not weird at the same time that he just invited himself on vacation with this other girl. But it's like, whatever, I'm just here for the ride. I'm just listening. And she was like, well, why would I want you to come on vacation with me? And he said, well, because I can get edibles for you. Now, for those of you who don't know what edibles are, edibles are basically just a new way to get high that you eat instead of smoke, all right? And so, by the way, he wasn't like, hey, I can get edibles. Like, this is just like, oh, it might rain tomorrow. Like, I'm going to have Subway for lunch, and I can get edibles for your vacation to Amsterdam. And I'm just like, I just got here, y'all. I haven't been in the chair for 2 minutes yet, and this is just where I'm at, right? And I'm just like, wow, I can't wait to hear what her response is going to be, of which she replies to the guy, I can get my own edibles. So apparently he's not going on vacation now. But he makes some sort of, like, smart comment back to her about, like, you know, I don't know, something else about the edibles or whatever. And then my girl chimes in. This is the one who's getting ready to cut my hair. The scissors haven't touched anything yet. I mean, we're that fresh in the seat. And she says, because he said, oh, no, you couldn't get them as fast as I could or whatever. Then my girl says, I could get them right now for you if you wanted. I was like, where am I right now? I tell this story to say this. Your mission will determine who you genuinely build relationship with, right? If the mission of your life is to forget, you will build relationships with people who will help you forget, right? If the mission of your life is to just, hey, we're going to have fun and it doesn't matter what the consequences are, oh, let me just tell you, you will find people that you can build relationships with that will help you have fun with no thought about consequences whatsoever. Like, they're all over. You don't have to look hard. Just go to Sport Clips, apparently. And you can find everybody you want. See, if status is your mission, then you'll find people that will help you build your status. If control is your mission, if being right is your mission, if whatever your mission might happen to be, then that will determine who you actually build relationship with, right? If your mission is to be invisible, if your mission is to be loved because you never found it anywhere else, if your mission is just to be older, right? If your mission is to get to college or just to have fun or to be married or to have kids or just to be the best, no matter what, then think about it. Like, how will that impact the relationships that you have? Whatever your mission is, that will tell you who you're going to build relationships with. And the reality is that the relationships you have will also tell you what your mission really is in life. And then, I mean, think about it this way. Like, if you don't genuinely connect with anyone, like, what is your mission? Maybe your mission is just to avoid conflict. Maybe your mission is to avoid disagreement or avoid drama. But I want you to think about this. Like, how will your mission, whatever it might happen to be, how will your mission impact your relationship with the church? How will your mission impact your relationship with Jesus himself? Because think about it. Like, not every mission is in line with the mission of Jesus. And if your mission, the way you live your life, the way you desire, the goals you want to accomplish, if that determines the relationships you have, then your mission may actually be threatened by Jesus. Your mission may actually be threatened by being a part of a crazy group of people called the church. Like, your mission might actually be threatened there. And so when that happens, then you'll have to decide, well, am I going to pursue Jesus and his mission, or am I going to stick with mine, and we'll just see where the cards fall? See, if your mission is to follow Jesus, then you will genuinely connect with those who follow Jesus. And let me be clear, that doesn't mean that everybody in your life is going to follow Jesus. In fact, I think Jesus himself is a great example of the fact that not everybody that you come in contact with should be Jesus followers. Like, if the only people we talk to are those that are already following Jesus, then how are we sharing good news with people who don't have good news yet? Like, there need to be some interactions in that regard. But if your mission is to follow Jesus, then you need to have genuine connection with people who follow Jesus. See, if your mission is to be a disciple that makes disciples, then you will genuinely connect with those who can train you to make disciples. And you'll genuinely connect with those who need someone to disciple them and to mentor them in their faith and to help them take steps of faith with Jesus. I love sharing this story. Boyce Irwin, who works with our camera system, most of you don't see him like during the worship service because he is up. Like, if you watch online, like everything you see online is because Boyce said, go to that camera, right? Boyce is an incredible guy. His job is to service ATMs, right? So he will go around Houston and take care of whatever issues and problems might be there because you probably broke it the last time you put your PIN number in wrong or whatever, right? But obviously, because it's an ATM, he has to have a security guard there because, you know, all the money and whatnot. Boyce met a guy named Tariq, and Boyce and Tariq found themselves actually on the same routine, the same route, every week. And so a few times a week, they would actually drive with each other to go to these different locations to service these different ATMs. Now, if you know anything about Boyce, you know that it will only take about 30 seconds before he mentions something about the Lord in his life. It could be something that he read in the Bible. It could be something that God is doing in his life. Whatever. He's pretty quick to say something just very naturally and normally about like how God is doing something in his life. He did this with Tariq as well. Now, what's interesting is that Boyce and Tariq are not of the same generation. They are not of the same race. They're not of the same socioeconomic standing. In fact, you would probably be hard-pressed to find any two people more different than Boyce and Tariq. And yet, God gave Boyce an opportunity to just build a relationship with Tariq. And so, where they could have on these trips just each sort of been on their phone or whatever like that, just sort of hiding from each other, they actually began a Bible study with each other. And so they would go and they would do their route, and then when they would stop for lunch, like, they would talk about the Word of God. And what Boyce began to find is not only was Tariq interested in the Word of God, but as they continued, like, Tariq was making some connections between stories that Boyce never actually told him about, right? And so here you have these two very opposite people that just because Boyce took advantage of an opportunity, he was able to build a relationship that helped Tariq get connected to Jesus. Oh, I need to say that again. I need you to understand this a little bit. See, I am not encouraging you to build relationships with people just because it is important for you. It is important for you. That's one point right there. However, it is not eternally important that people build relationships with you. What is eternally important is that people build relationships with God. And so, boys, even though he could not find more differences between he and Tariq, he actually took the risk to build a relationship here. And now Tariq has a relationship with Jesus that he didn't have before, because boys build a relationship that he didn't have before, right? What I want to encourage you with is to recognize that your mission will determine the people that you genuinely connect with. And it may not even necessarily be that you're sharing the gospel with everybody out there, but it may be that you put yourselves around people who can actually share some good news with you. All right, so let me throw out some just practical encouragement here real quick. Throw out a few things here, and then we'll hit the road and get up out of here. So first of all, when it comes to like building genuine relationship with other people, stop making stuff weird. Stop overthinking, right? Like, think like the disciples with the woman at the well. The woman, like, comes to this great revelation of, like, Jesus is the Messiah. She runs off. The disciples come back, and they're like, whoa, what's he doing talking to this woman and everything? What just happened here? And he starts talking about how the fields are ripe for harvest and talking about food and everything. And they're like, wait a second, we just went to get him food. Who got him food? They were totally oblivious to the whole thing. They had no idea what Jesus was talking about. They were lost in their heads, right? Sometimes the one thing keeping us from building relationships with other people is our own brain, right? There's a great line out of the movie called The Legend of Bagger Vance. It's a golf movie, but it's an awesome movie, even if you don't like golf. And there's a point where Bagger Vance says to the main character there, he says, you got to learn how to stop thinking without falling asleep. Oh, there is so much wisdom in that. Sometimes we just think ourselves out of perfectly good relationships. Second thing, so I want to encourage you to take a risk, put your phone down, and just say something. I get that for most of us, the reason we don't say anything is because we are afraid of what will happen if we say something. Particularly for those that are in high school and middle school, like if you say the wrong thing, that's a reputation getting ready to happen. I get the fear in that culture there. And I get that even as you take that into college and being adult into adulthood and everything, I get that that's real. But we need to be people who are setting culture based on Jesus in our lives and not on the fear of other people around us. And so we've got to just take the risk and say something. Third thing then is I just want to encourage you to trust God. I know that sounds so simple, but sometimes accomplishing little things like building a relationship with someone really is a step of faith, right? Maybe there's somebody in this room right now that you kind of would like to get to know a little bit more, but you're like, well, I don't know. I've never actually talked to this person before. I've just kind of seen them from a distance. They sit on the other side of the room, so I don't even know what I would say to them, right? Whatever. Just trust God to work in whatever that particular interaction might be. Like, just put some faith into it, and you might be amazed at how God can work in that situation. See, we know that God has created us for relationship. And just yesterday, I have a nephew that posted on his Instagram, and this is exactly what I said, word for word. This generation makes you feel like being alone is the best option for you. See, that's because other people have a mission that is not for you. And the bad news is that when you try to do life and relationships on your own, it's never going to go well. You will feel like being alone is the best option, and that is always a lie from the pit of hell. You need to understand that. But the good news is that Jesus died in order that we might actually be reconciled to the Father, that we could be forgiven of our sins, that we could actually be in right relationship with him in order that he could help us to be reconciled with one another. So in other words, when we have a healthy relationship with God, he actually empowers us to have a healthy relationship with others as well. He teaches us how to live a Jesus way in regard to forgiveness and mercy and serving others and loving well. But if you aren't on mission with Jesus, you won't do relationships the Jesus way. You won't know the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. You won't know peace and joy and love in your life, and you won't be able to give that to others. You can have genuine relationship in your life, but in order to do that, we've got to do it Jesus's way. Amen. So let me give you a few things to think about before we get going here. First of all, what keeps you from genuinely connecting with others? Maybe it's your past, maybe it's fear, whatever it is, I want you to really think about like when you have that passing thought of saying something to someone, what is it that keeps you from actually saying something? Secondly then, what is your mission and what do you want your mission to be? Maybe even as we've been talking today here, maybe you recognize, you know what? My mission is not connected with Jesus. My mission is actually just for me to get whatever it is that I want to get. And maybe what you're getting is the fruit of your mission. So what do you want your mission to be? What needs to change about your mission? Because that will probably change how you connect in relationship. And then last, how can you pursue relationships that pursue your mission? And I should probably change that to say, how can you pursue relationships that pursue Christ's mission in your life? Let me give you a couple of ideas here, and you can just leave those questions up. We have community groups. I mentioned this a little bit last week too. Community groups are Bible study groups, Bible study discussion groups, where we actually just process God's word together and really talk about like, what's this mean to me? Those are the realest environments that I've ever seen, and I'm so thankful that I'm a part of one. And if you're not a part of a community group yet, I just want you to know you don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing. We would love to help you get connected with a community group as soon as possible. One of the ways you can get connected with a community group, or even just kind of talk to somebody about what this could look like for you, is you can fill out a connect card that's on the back of the seat there. But then also next Sunday, every third Sunday of the month, so next Sunday, we do this thing called Free Coffee with Naomi. It's really just a terrible name for a really great opportunity. So Naomi will just kind of meet with people and really just help and begin a conversation about what it would look like for you to take some next steps with the Lord with Houston First. So I'm not there. She does it all. She will help tell you some more about the church. Maybe you've got questions about the church. Maybe you've got questions about how to serve or whatever like that. It's a great opportunity just to learn more about who we are as a church and how you can be a part of what God is doing here. Whatever it is, I just want to encourage you to take the step of faith that God is pushing you toward. Say yes to the good news of Jesus in your life and let his mission be your mission. You'll be amazed at how it changes your relationships. Pray with me. God, we thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that when we submit ourselves to you, God, that you actually change the way we interact with each other. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would help us to submit to you in such a way that we're able to actually build relationships with others that are healthy for us, that are helpful for us, that remind us of the truth of your word. But God, help us as well, Lord, to build relationships with people that we can talk to, that we can encourage, that we can build them up as well, Lord. We thank you. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness, your love, and your mercy. Help us, Lord, that we would just continue to walk in that submission to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.